Blog Talk Radio.
Azunke parin legbahe, azunke parin legbahe, parin legba me la jan kase wosho, azunke valre le parin vodou legba,
azunke parin legbahe,
azunke.
Walk and works along this divine life path and journey. It is
how I, the Divine Prince, makes sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors. Understanding that I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Ashe. Today is Saturday, December 4th, 2010. It is high noon. You are tuned in to the Power Lunch. And I am emanating, vibrating with you and for you live and in archive, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Taya Mecca, in the legendary, historic, and beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist, voodoo, Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, root, plant, and minerals. I am having just a little bit of problem today with my voice, but I am going to attempt to do the show as best I can. I may end a little early so that I may be able to still do the show tonight. But I have to warn you now, I can't promise anything, because again, my throat is really jacked up right now. I'm going to have to spend some time with some herbs and tea and some honey and see if I can't work this out. For many of you, you are now beyond autumn. You are now in winter here in New Orleans. To some degree, we are still in summer. So we go from one day of really nice weather, like today, 75, 80-degree weather, and then we might have a cold front, and it might go down to 40 at night, even 30 north of Lake Pontchartrain. So we're, you know, in that period, that transitional seasonal period. And I stay in a lot. I work in the temple a lot. When I do go out, I try and limit my contact physically with pathogens, contaminants, children. Okay. But apparently this is something that just had to come through the air or something. I'm not sure. It was just my time. But yes, Queen Bee, I have my own ginger growing in my kitchen. And I'm probably going to make a trip to the store at some point. So I'll probably get lemon. I have honey and some other things. But as you can hear, my voice is really, it's just not going to be right today. So I'm going to try and do, again, some of the most basic parts of the show and see if I can be ready for 9 o'clock tonight. And we are under a Scorpio lunation this December 4th, 2010, with the moon now in its autumnal phase in Scorpio and the sun in Sagittarius. Around this time of the month, last month, Chiron and Neptune were getting set to shift from reverse or retrograde to a more forward motion in Aquarius. Now, Uranus, key planet of radical change, intuitive thinking, the multimedia, high technology, and shockwaves of all types, is about to do the same thing, but in Pisces, a water sign. However, while the cosmos indicates that the Uranus turnaround will officially happen on Sunday, you can feel the vibrations of that station in the heavens today. That's because every time a planet appears to be motionless in the sky, the influence really last for a few days before and after that precise halt. An example of that is with the full moon. The presence of that full moon energy exists a few days before and a few days after the actual physical manifestation of the full moon that we mark on a calendar. So expecting the unexpected is a very useful motto for the entire weekend. Revelations can appear in your mind's eye this morning, courtesy of the moon Uranus flowing trine from Scorpio to Pisces. And let me quickly mention trine. When I use that word trine, T-R-I-N-E, it is a astrological term relating to favorable positioning of two celestial bodies at 120 degree apart. And this will typically form in three planets, creating the 120 degree angle there. So if you can imagine a pyramid, a three-sided triangle, that left side and that bottom left side, that's 120 degree angle. So it takes the three planets to form the trine to get this 120 degree positioning, marking. And this trine shows up in Master Quartz Crystal, which I'm going to be spending more and more time with. As I said yesterday, the stones, the mineral kingdom, are sort of like the low notes, the more denser vibrational harmony. And today we're going to talk about harmony, sound, vibration, rhythm. Very unusual day for my voice to go out. But at any rate, this trine shows up in Record Keeper Quartz. And Record Keeper is a manifestation or a specialized form of quartz, which forms a three-sided triangle, a pyramid, a trine, on one of the main surfaces, usually of a larger generator or terminated point. And again, I'm going to be sharing more of that today and in the coming days. This is important not only to our magical, ritual, hoodoo, symbolic arsenal, library, and understanding, but it's also important because it remanifests itself over and over again in creation. Again, the Record Keeper is just an example of that triangular, very specific geometric shape. And for those of mathematicians out there, you know that geometry is not so much accidental. It's very organized, very precise, very predictable to some degree. The understanding of it continues to grow and continues to advance. But it's a very precise form that shows up throughout creation in various means, but it really condenses its presence in math, in geomancy, in geometry, in the usage of stones. So as I move forward in the coming days, we will be talking more specifically about quartz crystal, just quartz crystal. We all need every aspect of the mineral kingdom, just as we do in our biological diet and makeup. But we need more so than anything. What's that one element you cannot survive on? We can go a certain amount of time without food, but we can't go without water, air, these major elemental forces. And water is 70% of our body, of our biological reality as it is in the crystal kingdom. So I think there's a direct correlation between the power and manifestation of water and what it does and our usage and our divine connection to quartz crystals. I'm going to be spending more time talking about these master crystals. If I may, you know, size does matter, particularly as it relates to using crystal and stone for very specific purposes. Now, the little cute stones are just that, cute. When you're a little more advanced and you can program them properly and generate the frequencies that you desire, jewelry, earrings, all those smaller pieces are without exception very necessary to our healing process. But as we begin to move forward and really deal with direct healing, focused, conscious healing, activation, ritual work, spell work, the master key is clear quartz, and we want to start getting into larger pieces. So begin to make the time to invest in larger quartz pieces, 2 inches and bigger on up, as it, you know, fits your budget, but also as it fits your process of evolution spiritually, religiously, quantum, metaphysically. So you will find in the coming days I will be doing more and more of that. I'm probably going to do a video on YouTube even today, if I can get beyond the issues with my voice. Just give me a second here to respond to this person. Okay, so today for our divine affirmation and manifestation, we want to first talk about air. And I've talked about a lot of things today. I've introduced fire yesterday and water just now into your consciousness, but I want to talk about air. Again, it's appropriate to the season, to the time, as we move through fall, many of you now into winter, all of us collectively, according to the calendar, in the next few weeks, we'll be moving into winter. And we can look at that role that air in that manifestation plays, not only in our physical, biological reality, but also symbolically as a divine element, a deity of its own. Wind is the element that governs the realms of spirit and mind. It is a force that is compatible of incredible displays of strength. It's capable of incredible displays of strength, yet it is usually invisible. It cannot be seen other than by the effects that it creates on us in our environment. This is like our own spirit, which cannot be touched, but is in evidence through our own creations. The force of wind lives within us as our breath, and as the gases of our body, such as the oxygen that our cells need in order to survive. Its power is evidenced in the power of our own thoughts to create and affect the reality of the earth plane. Wind's corresponding chakras are the sixth chakra, the third eye center, and the seventh chakra, the crown center. Wind is the breath of the Great Mother. This breath is an agent of cleansing for all energies on the non-physical levels. And when the power of wind is invoked, you are calling upon the breath of the divine to cleanse your life and create change on an energetic level. Through the practice of deep breathing, we can employ the energy of air to clear our bodies of stagnant energy on a cellular level. This element also rules our mental aspect, and this energy can create improvement in mental acuity and psychic abilities. The air is the messenger of spirit, bringing guidance and information from the higher realms to our conscious mind. And for some reason, and I'm still not quite fully clear on the reasoning, the rationale behind it, but Christianity early on demonized air by making it the realm of Satan. And I can't quite quote the scripture right now off the top of my head, but it describes Satan as the spirit of the air, the ruler of air. And many pastors, for whatever reason, associate that with thought, intellect, imagery, illusion, and suggest that it is a reasoning behind or even evidence that the devil, as it were, Satan, could only communicate with us through air. We often identify sin, quote unquote, with material things, but it's really the thought, the energy, the motivations behind, the intentions behind what we do that gives something that negative, that positive connotation. When we look at nature, we would be hard-pressed to put boundaries on negative and positive. There's a continual process, as we shared in fire yesterday, in destruction and rebirth, recreation, remolding, recycling, which, depending on your level of awareness and understanding, has a strong destructive connotation for some. But air is truly, like water, essential to life, but not all, only life, but healthy, holistic, well life, thought, mobility, action, activity. The energy of air is able to affect change immediately by bringing physical relief to you in times of stress and fatigue. When we are stressed, we cease to breathe correctly and creates a stagnation of energies. And this, too, is a very simple tool that I teach within my ministry, breathing. One of my sisters has been dealing with weight, stress, emotion, and there was a time we worked specifically with breathing. And if you can just breathe, count to 10 and breathe at any given moment. And at first, of course, it takes some practice, it takes some getting used to, because for many of us, we're used to being reactionary, emotional, responding to the child's tantrum, or the event, the bill that showed up unexpectedly, as opposed to being pre-prepared for life. And one of those very simple gifts is the ability to stop and breathe at any given moment. Just breathe before we respond, before we act, before we think. And this lack of breathing, and not only a lack of breathing, but a shallow breathing. Some of you are not really breathing deeply and are only using a third or fourth of your lung capacity, quite often from the top, particularly if you are dealing with weight issues, because you are cut off at your world center, your second or third. So you will typically breathe from right at your breast, right above your breast, as opposed to breathing all the way down, as they teach us in music and voice, to your diaphragm, bringing that air, that oxygen down to the first chakra. And for those of you who are now utilizing transformative, transcendental meditation and are asking, what do I think about, what do I envision? If you're asking that, you're probably new. So just focus on your breath. And many books will tell you to focus on your breath, but they don't often give enough attention to why we should be focusing on the breath. That is our connection to spirit, our heritage. We have our navel, our belly button, which is evidence of our humanity, of being born and birthed as a mammal from a mother with the womb. Our breath is that manifestation and connection to spirit. So just breathe and breathe deeply. Some of you who are not used to breathing deeply or may not even realize you're not used to it will feel an immediate rush to breathing that deeply. It might get lightheaded, so take it easy at first. But in all things, before we pray, before we think, before we start that meditation, that ritual, we breathe. It is our connection and reconnection to the spirit realm. And ritual activity involving crystal, we have to breathe on a stone. It not only moves the energy around, it refreshes the charge, the polarity of the stone, if you will. But when we don't breathe, this restricts the flow of oxygen and life force in the body and creates a stagnation of energies. And this leads to blockages, first in the spirit realm, the karmic realm, the energy realm, your chakras, and then begins to manifest literally in your physical, biological body. So when you find yourself stressed out or in a state of stagnation, invoke the power of air to move through you, with you, and around you. With your own breath, the act of breathing deeply enables air to begin to work immediately by granting you increased clarity and energy. Prolonged deep breathing can facilitate a deep sense of connection to the spirit realm and can open you to enhanced psychic awareness, greater visionary possibilities, more color to your vision, in more reality, more realness to the vision, enabling you to bring that energy, that experience back into your waking state. Many of you are claiming you can't remember your dreams, you aren't remembering the experiences. And again, we cannot isolate our spiritual, religious experience from our physical reality. And it amazes me in 2010 the number of churches who still get out at 1 o'clock and go eat somewhere, usually something unhealthy. And it helps to solidify that off-balanced behavior. So when air is activated, when we breathe, when we focus on spirit, we are reminded to listen to the voices that are speaking to us, our gods, our goddesses, our guides, angels, ancestors, our own higher self, to all utilize air and wind energy to carry messages to us. When you quiet yourself and concentrate on the breath of the wind within you, you open yourself to the guidance of these higher beings. Wind and air may be indicating that you need to view the current situation through the higher chakras of the third eye and crown. Perhaps you need to use your mental energies in order to work out a problem. Maybe you're being asked to open your intuition to receive an answer or a new direction from spirit. the energy of air may be telling you to use your head in the current situation. When the power of wind is invoked, you are being assured of a renewed clarity of thought and an increased ability to use your spiritual connection for divine manifestation. Take some time to invite the power of air and wind into your life. Sit outside and breathe fresh air into your body. Utilize the power of deep breathing to create clarity and enhance your connection to the subtle spiritual realms for which we all operate within. Wind and air is calling you to listen to its voice within your deepest self. And listening is only the first step to activation, to doing. It's okay to listen and listen and listen. Many of us have locked ourselves into a ritualized process of going to church every Sunday and listening, going to the mosque every Friday and listening, and not really the synagogue on Saturday and Jehovah's Witness temple on Saturday and listening and being present, but not truly being and present. We must move beyond the hearing into the doing. This message is not in line to some degree with what I do as a spiritual consultant. There are many out there who would love for you to spend your money, your time, your effort just listening and becoming codependent upon the listening. When we watch TV, even so-called serious broadcasting, news, documentaries, we're really listening. We're hearing, we're listening, but quite often, 5 minutes later, we have not really retained any real meat, any real content. So we've got to begin to move beyond the journey and truly begin to walk the path. This is a time where we are preparing holidays, many of us, holidays, celebrations, family, guests, friends. We're running on adrenaline, on childhood memories, on other senses of connection to the holiday and the feeling that we all individualize with the holiday. And for some, that's a good feeling. For others, it's maybe a questionable one because it still brings up things that we have not confronted and not taken the time to truly deal with and move beyond. So I ask that you would take the time now to think, breathe, experience, but then move into action. Move forward in manifestation of your belief systems, your desire, your faith. You are tuned in to the Power Lunch at High Noon with the Divine Prince, live and in archive from New Orleans, Louisiana. Today we're talking about rhythm, sound, tone, vibration, harmony, and its power in our universe. Almost everything, if not everything, is nothing more than vibrating light, molecules, atoms, gases. But a key player in the organization in our universe is harmony, vibration, tone, sound, rhythm. And this has manifested itself in religious practices, religious teachings, and studies all over the world in various forms. Many cultures believe that the world was spoken into existence, that a divine creator spoke creation into existence. But I ask that you look beyond the literal story and interpretation and consider the metaphor, the symbolism of activation through vibration. Vibration, harmony, sound, tone, rhythm are crucial part of all world religious practice, spirituality, even in its most minute forms. There are some religions that appear to not even have a real connection to music, sound, rhythm, as we associate, at least here in the Western world and in America, and how we see charismatic churches and black churches and the drum and the piano and the organ. But I'm talking about something so much more primal, so much more basic. Yesterday, I also talked about and sort of reintroduced for some of you the usage of the asan and the bell in voodoo to not only call spirit, but to affect result and response and manifestation by projecting a vibration. And as we look at indigenous cultures, many of them, particularly African, Pan-African, utilize drum and other very intense musical instruments to bring about a vibrational experience. Tone, note, as we now know it, is almost to some degree a more modernized experience. Whereas we look at the more ritualized music of Africa and Asia and the indigenous world, you hear more vibration, more rhythm. And understand that drums produce note, they produce tone, they produce sound and vibration on many levels. You have the high range, the middle range, and the low range, just as you would in voice or brass instruments or other so-called technical forms of music. But these rhythms, these vibrations are just as technical, just as complex in ritualized ceremonial music. There's a reason why the music that I play, some of you experience involuntary movement, are not able to hear some of those tracks without dancing, without wanting to dance, without wanting to respond. And it's not that we are any less connected, I think, from spirit, rhythm, vibration in this modernized society, just in a very different way. And almost an artificial way. And the messages, I believe, that are being conveyed are specialized to meet a very different set of needs than, I believe, were the case in indigenous ritualized ceremonial culture. Often now, these vibrations, these colors, these energies are being used to influence our spending, influence our interests over one thing, one person, one form of living than another, as opposed to really healing and going to the center of people's true needs through the music. When we talk about music generationally from decade to decade, many people often look at the music they grew up on as real music, as opposed to the presence of the music in their present generation. And to some degree, again, there's a change in what the messages are, what energies, what vibrations are being pushed, being marketed through the music. And I think the music of today, in a large sense, it's not catering to spirit as so much carnal needs, material needs, physical needs of a different type than wellness and wholeness, but more base, more animal nature. So we must begin to reprogram and reevaluate our relationship with sound, tone, vibration, harmony. Cleanse your audio environment. Some of you need to turn off some of the noise. You may find your children might calm down a little bit if you turn off the noise. They will resist you at first. Absolutely. There's a level of addiction to sound, to vibration, to noise, because it is primal to who we are physically and spiritually. When we look at nature, the animal kingdom, there are many forms of their communication which are still quite foreign to us, and they're often operating on different frequencies. Sometimes it's the higher notes, sometimes it's the lower notes, but clearly different levels of frequency, vibration, tone, and awareness than what we are accustomed to and aware of and educated to become aware of. Just to quickly mention the story, I was in my kitchen the other day, and we have some neighbors that have at least 5 pit bulls in their back. And they keep up a lot of noise day and night, day and night. In my opinion, dogs don't get enough attention. But that's a whole other story. I just don't think when you first of all, I believe dogs should be outside. I'm not really a house dog, quote-unquote, person per se. But when you begin to make pets of animals, I think you have to interact with them to keep them healthy to a certain degree. You can't just put them in a pen and keep them isolated. They will begin to act out, just like children who don't have enough playtime might act out, who don't have enough time, energy, expression. So the dogs make a lot of noise. And, of course, you've all been seeing, you know, the new commercial, Bark Off, you know, where you buy this little gadget and it emits this sound, and it's supposed to affect the dog's behavior. Some of the older listeners remember the old dog whistles that emitted that high-pitched sound that only dogs could hear. And I make mention of this because I really want you to understand that we're really not getting the whole spectrum. Technology is now allowing us to gain a greater insight in the spectrum of sound and tone and vibration. But religion, spirituality, has always operated with this knowledge and awareness, even when we did not have the scientific, statistical backing knowledge and awareness. So I'm in my kitchen, and the dogs are just, you know, clowning, and I'm washing dishes, really, particularly glass. And you know how, you know, when you get clean glass and it, you know, screeches and it kind of makes that noise, that high-pitched sound. And the first time it was completely accidental. But I noticed that the dogs stopped. It was like they could hear the sound. I mean, they're a good 20 to 30 feet away from my back door, and my kitchen is maybe another 10, 15 feet away from the door itself. So I'm not, you know, in their space, and the door is closed. We learn to mute certain sounds. Humans do it, animals do it. when you first move into a house, into an apartment, that first night, you hear every sound, don't you? Every creak, every pop, how the water goes through the pipes, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what that is. And over time, you adjust. You become familiar to certain sounds, to certain tones. So when your refrigerator is coming on and off, when the hot water heater or whatever, you begin to make that into the lower notes, the denser notes, the background, and you pay more attention to high-pitched breaking glass, a sudden sound that catches your attention. So, you know, the dogs that are accustomed to people being in their house and making, you know, human noises, but they tend to respond to certain noises, certain frequencies of noises that they have identified as unusual. So once I became aware that they actually were responding, I tested it. And I would keep a certain amount of really clean, sudsy water in the sink until, you know, they would clown. And then I would go in and kind of, you know, rub my thumb against a really clean glass, fresh out of the water. And they would respond to the note. And we, too, have the same animal, because we are animals. Let's not, you know, neglect the ignorant of the reality. Physically, we are animals. We are mammals. We are part of the created animal kingdom and the planet. We are one human. We are one body in nature. But, so we have certain skills and abilities that we see mirrored back to us from nature that we've lost connection to through division of labor, through technology, through the invention of certain products. In one of our most recent shows, those of you in the chat remember, we talked about being able to see the sky. And for many of you in the city, you're really not getting the full spectrum because of the artificial light. And as well, sound. We have adjusted to automobile noise, to emergency vehicle noise, to all other sounds, quite often man-made or man-affected, and have lost our connection to our natural ability to tune in, amplify, and make sense of sound and vibration. So in your meditation, in your prayer, in your quiet time, I want you to begin to truly focus on your connection as a human, but also as spirit to the elements of water, of fire, of earth, of wind, of sound, and begin to fine-tune your ability to hear, because it's through this ability to hear that we begin to truly connect with each other, with ourselves, but ultimately with spirit. We have about 10 minutes left in the show here. I'm going to check the switchboard here. I want to thank each and every one of you for being present here with me. Those of you live in the chat, R. Celine 25, Warm Summer Wind, Queen Bee 1, Fire Witch, Kala Hot, Divine Peace and Blessings, Joy and Prosperity. As you can hear, I'm having some issues with my throat. So I'm not going to promise you that I'm going to be here tonight, but I'm going to make a serious effort to do so if I can get it together between now and 9 o'clock. I'm looking now at some questions. Some of you wrote these questions back towards the beginning of the show, so I do apologize. Okay, Warm Summer Wind, what are you talking about? Why don't colleges require art majors to take geometry? You know, I don't know. And two, I think it depends on the college and the program. And, of course, now, you know, there's the college program, and then there's that ability for some of us to kind of create our own program. But I know when I was in college, I was a music theater major. But I took art, I took science, I took math, I took biology. So again, you know, I don't know. And I don't think that if we want to really just look at the issue of education and spirit, they were combined and cohesive, I think, in the ancient world. But we sort of separated them and made them almost polar opposites of each other. So I know for me, and I was talking to a family member about this yesterday, they have a young child, 18, really, about to graduate high school, but who doesn't really have a connection to school. So they're not hopeful that this child is going to go to college at all. But I am. And, of course, they have reasoning. Dyslexia is a part of the reasoning. And a few other things I don't want to say because it'll kind of personalize who I'm talking about. But ultimately, for me, that was my experience. When I was in school as a child, none of that made any sense to me. And the other kids didn't make any sense to me. So school was not a good or happy environment. But as I got older and could gain control of my own education and what I was being exposed to and what I was studying, you know, at the college level, and you can choose, I found I was drawn to geometry and math and chemistry and things that, you know, I detested in high school, as we see it through, you know, that forced prism of parents and society saying, okay, this is something you have to do. Education to some degree, and I'm being humorous, is wasted on the youth because when you're that young, many of us don't value it. We don't understand what this is. Why do we need to know this? How is this even going to affect us as we move forward in life? And I think that has increased in more modern times, with kids seeing so much materialism and entertainers and athletes and people who are gaining these things without education, or at least without explaining how education has played a role. So I think universities, colleges are just too focused in on the slave market, the job market, building the next generation of workers for various corporations, companies, manufacturers, to help someone else get rich. And they're not really focused anymore on the full spectrum of education and what it means and how it works. So for me, when I began to walk the spiritual path, particularly in the early 90s, I would just go to the library to, you know, a specific section and close my eyes and pull a book off the shelf. No, I'm serious. I would close my eyes and pull a book off the shelf and, you know, or I would be drawn to the color of the book or the size of the book or, you know, very indirect things. It was sort of a game for me. But whatever I was drawn, I would pull it off and I would read it. And as I began to do that, clearly certain patterns developed, certain interests develop, and then I would seek those books out. And in doing so, I found myself reading and studying things that I'm sure my school teachers would have loved, that I would have had an interest in much younger. Even now with my internet success, I'm old enough and wise enough to know that when they were bringing computers in on us in the seventh grade, we really should have been in on that. We didn't get it, and they didn't make a whole lot of effort to explain why we should get it and how it was going to affect us as society moved forward. And I'm sure to some degree we often don't know, you know, when the new invention comes out, the new knowledge comes out, how it's going to affect us in our future. And it may develop a greater value for us later on. But, yes, geometry, math, chemistry, there were many technical sciences that I find myself studying more now because of voodoo, because of magic, because of ritual work, and wanting to make sense of some things. It's still greatly encoded because, again, I think there are forces that are consciously seeking to keep those aspects of society divided. But at the same time, there are aspects of our society that are seeking to make God a science, make religion a science. And I just don't think you can. It's far greater than that. It's a little bit of both worlds, but we cannot force our control over it. It makes as little sense as trying to force our control over God. And keeping in mind, we are God, but I mean God in its most grand sense of the word. We could not have this earth reality and experience in our full 100% God consciousness. There would be just too many things going on, too many distractions, too many laws and sciences and seasons to focus on. So I think there's a reason that we've sort of been dummied down to some degree to have a human experience and have the ability to focus. And we focus on something specific. But again, we live in an illusionary world, a plastic world, a relative, ever-changing world. So there are many mysteries. And as soon as we get focused in on one thing, there's something else to focus on. So it's not easy. I've never thought it was or professed it to be. I would hope that my listening audience, particularly my regular folks, all you who are with me right now, you know this is not easy. This was not meant to be. It is a challenge, and there are certain stressors involved, but I think the rewards of actively, consciously following a spiritual path are so far greater than any amount of effort I see around me given to just the things of the world. People get rich. People get material things. People hit the lottery. People become rich and famous. But we also see examples of where they are still grappling with reality, the very things that we are grappling with right now live in this program. So let's not focus in on the material in that way. Let us completely take charge of our higher destiny, our spiritual destiny, and continue to be and continue to move forward. I have about 2 minutes left in the show. I greatly appreciate the conversation that's going on in the chat and all of you who are present. Our special guests, Warm Summer Wind, Rebecca, Queen B1, Fire Witch, Tala Hot, Divine, peace and blessings, joy and prosperity to each and every one of you. It's strange. I don't have anyone on the phone. It's usually at least three people who call in every day just to listen. So it's a Saturday. People are beginning to get ready for Christmas and the holidays, and so some people are out and about. So I'm totally grateful, I'm humbled for those of you who did find the time to be here with me. My throat got really bad, but again, I'm going to take the day and try and see if I can do something and get it together by my 9 o'clock show tonight on Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes. And I appreciate each and every one of you for being present. We have about 60 seconds, so I'm going to bid you all a divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity until 9 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time tonight for Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes. Now, if I find that I cannot show, please do forgive me and join me here tomorrow at high noon for the power lunch. Divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously.
Thank you.